Well, even though it wasn't planned, a very nice transition from that last story in the news, as it is going to transition into our interview today with Mr. Bill Milliken. Bill has written a book called The Last Dropout, Stop the Epidemic. He's founder of Communities in Schools, the nation's largest and most successful campaign to reverse the high school dropout epidemic. And Mr. Milliken, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill.
I talk to so many doctors, it just comes off my tongue here that everybody has a doctor in front of their
name. Well, they actually surprised me with one this past summer, an honorary one, so.
I guess, though, it wasn't so far off, maybe.
No, that was fine.
That's probably why it was a Freudian slip here. Despite all the talk, and I think, the good efforts by many people that are falling short, we still have a real problem with students not completing high school and kind of almost sentencing themselves, I think, to a substandard life as a result, and particularly, it seems like, with many of our minority students.
Well, we're losing a third of our kids, and I think that's one of the biggest justice issue in America, and half that third are minorities, and I think it's not only one of the biggest moral issues, it's also economically disastrous.
And I know, the adage that education is a lifelong process, I think, is never more true than it is in the times we find ourselves, Bill, because of, this rapidly changing technology. You have to be able to kind of keep up with the times or you're going to be quickly left behind.
And they are being left behind. When I grew up in Pittsburgh as a kid, if you dropped out, you could get a great job if you wanted to work hard in the steel mills. Those jobs are gone. Every child's going to need to have a diploma beyond high school in order to make it.
And even, if you want to drive a truck or something like that, you're going to have to be able to, have at least an equivalency, I would think, of a basic understanding of, being able to read and to work with numbers and things like that.
Well, one of my family drives a truck across the country, and he said he had to learn more technology than I do.
Yeah,
because everything's on computer now, so it's no longer just you can just drop out and get a job. And in fact, we have more adult males now who have dropped out in prison than in jobs.
Yeah, and that gets to be a very costly thing for not only the individuals but for society as a whole. We always talk about, and we just had a bevy of school levy referendums yesterday or election day and a couple of days ago, and, about a third of them failed because, people think their property taxes are already too high, and yet I think a dollar spent hopefully early in one's life, can really save a lot of dollars down the road when it comes to trying to keep somebody incarcerated.
Like $192 billion a year is what you could save by having them not in prison, but productive and paying taxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk a little bit about this this book. It's quite a compilation, and again, about the program, too, Communities and Schools. I don't see any schools in Minnesota or areas participating, but you have them literally all over the country, and, a lot of organizations, too, certainly are on board with you here and what you're trying to accomplish.
We're now in 3,400 schools across the country. We started with one school with 100 kids. Now, as I said, in 3,400 schools with 1,200,000 kids a year. And these are kids that would normally have between 40% and 55% dropout rate. We're having them stay in at 80% to 90%, not only showing staying in school, but improving their academics and behavior.
And how do you go about doing that? I know there's more than one thing that is being done, but what are some of the key steps that are being taken then to make this successful?
Well, there's a lot of great people out there working with kids, from Boys and Girls Clubs to health workers to faith-based people to all the different people in the youth business. The issue is they're scattered all over town. What we do is say you need a champion for children in every community in America whose whole job is to get them to all work together, to weave those resources together around the schools, to free up the teachers to teach, and to create safe places for both the teachers and the children.
Mm-hmm. And, as you said, I don't know if there's anything that's more important for a community. we should all be striving to make sure that we have 100% that complete their education. And I know that sometimes an alternative school is a better fit for a student, as long as they kind of get the education. That's the bottom line.
The bottom line, you hit it right on the head, Bill. That's the bottom line. A lack of education is the number one issue that's creating this huge gap between have and have-nots in our society. And it's going to affect not just the kids who are dropping out, and it's our children and grandchildren are going to grow up in a country that, one, has not met its moral obligation that all children are our children, but economically we're going to become a second-rate nation because you can't lose a third of your potential workforce and have them in prison and other places and survive as a major economic power.
No, absolutely not in this competitive world that we're living right now, that's for sure. Talk a little bit about the importance maybe of, a caring adult to acting as a mentor because, a lot of these students, let's face it, are coming from, broken homes in many cases, and that's maybe where some of their problems begin.
It is where it begins, and that along with the poverty that surrounds so much of it, and even, so many of these parents really care, but they're single parents, and some of them are working two and three jobs, and they're worried about their kid. That's why I say the whole community needs to come together to provide that. We have 49,000 volunteers around the country that get involved to make sure those kids do have that relationship. Bill, I've often been asked to testify here in Washington or meet with interviews, and they say, well, what programs out there do you see change kids? And I say, I still haven't seen one program do it. What changes people is love and relationship. A kid has to get turned on to living before they're going to get turned on to learning. Once they have that significant adult in their life that believes in them, and that's what happened to me, is then you have hope and you want to learn and you want to make it.
Is this as prevalent in some of the other, industrialized societies as it is here in the United States where we're having this high dropout rate?
No, actually, our graduation rate among the industrialized nations is we're 18th. And here's the wealthiest nation in the world, one of the most creative, one of the greatest nations that's ever been created, and yet we rank 18th. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is. And some of the, developing countries, too, I think there still is a stronger family culture in many cases, and that, maybe it isn't going to serve them, as well as it did, 50 years ago, where they basically maybe learned, the basics of staying alive, more or less, and that was all they needed to know, and that was taught from generation to generation. But even those areas, there aren't many remote spots like that left, are there?
No, and there's some person in a poor community in India in a hut somewhere with a computer that's going to create a business that's going to compete with the kids in your community.
Yeah, and we probably all have talked to them in tech support.
Exactly.
Somewhere in the past. So.
And so we need our kids as well equipped as they are.
Right. And again, can you maybe share one or two examples of a student or two that have really been assisted and had their lives turned around with communities and schools?
Well, the fun part is we just came off our national gathering of 30 years of our troops came together to encourage one another, have people like Laura Bush and others come and encourage them and speak to them, from Mark Warner to others, saying what they were doing, and we always have kids speak. And actually, the person who is our chief operating officer in Georgia was one of the speakers. We're now in 50 communities there. He was in the first class of the first school we were ever in which there was 100 kids. He had been pushed out of school because he needed to have a gun in school, because he felt like he had to have a gun there because he had one in the housing project that he grew up in. Well, they got the gun away from him. He eventually got into junior ROTC, became the number one graduate in the country at the time, went on to college, made honors, and started his own mentoring program there, eventually had 2,000 or 3,000 troops under his command when he decided to come back and give back. And now he is the number two person running our program in Georgia, and thousands of kids are now getting a second chance.
Yeah, that's quite an amazing story, isn't it?
Yeah, and I actually included that in the book, The Last Dropout, in the first chapter, because he and I came from different situations, but it was a caring adult that turned us around, because you have to start with love.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we really didn't, maybe you don't want to go into it in that much detail, but a little bit about yourself, when did that person step forward that changed your life forever?
When my mom was asked to take me out of school because I was causing problems, they said I couldn't handle the work, and I got in with the wrong crowd. And fortunately, a youth organization, a volunteer for a group called Young Life, came into my neighborhood, and some of us really responded and saw that here was a guy that really lived out his faith, really believed in us. And a couple of us decided to give the rest of our lives to giving back. And so I started by going to the streets of Harlem and the Lower East Side for 11 years, working with kids, and that's where I learned these basic principles. And it, as somebody said, God has a great sense of humor. Bill's now founded and running a national education organization.
And you've been doing it, what, 47 years now? So.
Yeah, I started when I was 10.
If people want to get more information and see how they can become involved, what's the best way to go about doing it?
Well, they can go to our site, communitiesinschools.org, or they can call us at 1-800-CIS, 4 is the number 4, KIDS, K-I-D-S.
All right, CIS for kids, all right. And again, the book is called The Last Dropout, Stop the Epidemic by Bill Milliken, founder of Communities and Schools, and is available pretty much all over, Bill?
The school, yeah. I mean, the book is at Barnes & Noble's and Borders and online at Amazon, whatever. Fortunately, they've embraced it.
All right, well, it is. It's great that they did, and again, that we get the word out and get as many people excited about this. And I know you've got a growing organization, but I'm sure you've always got room for more. And as we said, the problem hasn't certainly lessened in any degree, so there's plenty of kids that need our help. So,
well, you're right, Bill. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you so much for doing what you're doing, Bill, and continued success to you and good health. And again, thanks for being our guest today.
Okay.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.